Enjoy today's episode after a quick advertisement by our sponsor, NetSuite. Best thing about a business is as it scales, you start being buried in manual work. At some point, cracks start to emerge. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000, that's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. 25, NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. One, because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all your KPIs, that is key performance indicators, in one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need to grow, all in one place. That is exactly what I've done time after time for our businesses and when we were scaling at AutoMile. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely for free at netsuite.com/scale. That is netsuite.com/scale to get your own KPI checklist at netsuite.com/scale.
Welcome to the Uncharted Podcast. This is Poya. Thanks for joining us once again. I am so excited to have a returning guest, the one and only Pete Ryan. Welcome to the Uncharted.
Thanks for having me.
Pete, for whoever's lived on the rock, give them a little bit of a context very briefly on your personal, professional background.
I'm Pete Ryan, co-founder and CEO at High Five, a relationship-led growth platform for sellers to unlock a new channel of growth, which is getting introductions through connections, investors, advisors, partners, customers. We are default alive, profitable, super excited about that. I co-founded the company with who you know also, Brennan Cassidy. My background is second time founder, also started a company called GoGoHire, grew it to 200 million GMV, a million ARR, only off of 120K in equity. And of course, sales leader, Trello, got acquired by Atlassian, sales leader at Atlassian, IPO.
One of the reasons I was really excited to have this conversation is you've been one of the most realist founders I've ever met. Like, there's a lot you meet where they're like, things are going well, or like, I have no stress, my executives are awesome, and then 6 months later, the business is like going sideways.
Right.
I think it's really important to like be vulnerable, but at the same time, it's so freaking lonely and emotional to be a founder, and I don't think you realize that. It's so easy for people that are coworkers from the outside to judge like the mistakes, the nitty gritty, but you forget that founders are humans and they Right. mess up more than anybody. So talk to me a little bit about like this emotional roller coaster of running a company. Like, how have you learned to deal with it and what's helped?
I'll kind of talk about two different pieces, two different segments, right? One is founder depression, and then the other is being a sales-led founder and having to kind of pick up the slack a little bit with product and getting to product market fit. Let's just talk about like founders in general. They're not really open about sharing how they really feel because of ego, right? Which is also kind of insecurity and so on and so forth. And so fortunately, I've had a lot of adversity, right, as a founder to where, you know, my ego has been put in check. I would say in my 20s, like, oh, my ego was through the roof, right? I think, you know.
You've been humbled.
Oh, of course. And you need to be, right? And so I'll kind of just tell a story about founder depression. And it's just more to share it because if anyone's listening, right, and they want to talk about it, they're going through it, I'm happy to be here as a sounding board. And so it's 2013, 2014. I founded GoGoHire with my technical co-founder, Adar Shupala. Fantastic co-founder, by the way. 10X engineer. He's won like 50 hackathons, so on and so forth. And I loved working with him. The difficulty of working with him actually was the sleep schedules were way off, right? So I'm an early riser, right? I get up at like 5. I start cranking. And then, you know, he kind of sleeps until about 3, starts working at 5 or 6, and then we'll be up until like, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning. And so as a co-founder, I'm like, okay, well, I got to be there if he has any feature questions or whatever. So bottom line is like, we were working 100 hours a week. I wasn't sleeping, was eating like shit. And then, you know, you kind of, you know, any sort of tremor in the business, I would just feel like very, very deeply. And so you kind of throw on top of that, right? I lost my mom and 2 friends to suicide within a 6-month period, right? And so I was in the lowest of the lows, just like very dark period of my life. You know, how I was coping with that is either throwing myself back into work or drinking, right? If people don't know this, alcohol is a depressant and you don't want to add to it. It was a dark period. I never want to go there ever again.
First of all, thanks for sharing. I used to, like, 2-3 years ago, like, have a bad day. It's like, I need to go blow off some steam, and I would go to a bar, and next thing you know, I'm up till 5 a.m. What have you learned to be a good way of, like, coping with the stress?
Yeah, so I think it comes down to preparation, right? Because if you're having a tough day, it's like, it's so easy just for your instant reaction to be like, you know what, I'm going to go just like lay around, or I'm just going to go have a drink or whatever, right? And so, you know, meditation, working out, eating healthy, no alcohol, right? Which, like, my friends are like, wait, what? That has been a game changer for me. What I recommend to any founder, because, you know, the lows are so low, the highs are really high. 100. You throw like alcohol in the mix or bad sleep, right? Really, really affects you 100%. In a deep way.
My only other suggestion, I think at some point, if there's something really bugging the crap out of like feeling where you're like losing sleep over it, that's been my test. Like if you wake up in the middle of the night, you're like, I'm stressed about this one thing we discussed as a founder we couldn't agree on, you have to share it. Have to be like, hey, I'm like, it's really affecting me. And at some point you have a heart to heart and you go with whatever direction. But once you decide, you go all the way. You can't 100%. Change your mind. Right?
I completely agree. Yeah. To your point around the co-founder thing, right? It's like Jason Limkin will say, like, don't send the email, right?
Yeah.
What he means is like, okay, when you're super agitated, just pause for a second. And if you're going to send that email that you know you're going to regret, don't send it.
Yeah.
Right. I guess just a transition from like founder depression to, you know, being a sales led founder, which, you know, it feels like there's not as many, right? Cause it's like, you know, well, okay, I'm a sales led founder. Where's the product? I have no product to sell. So I'm not going to found a company. Product in general is like a skill I've had to kind of pick up. By no means am I an expert. I think the best way to mitigate against being kind of a sales led founder and your weak point being product is to find a really great technical co-founder or product leader or what have you. It's funny. It's like in a lot of the startup articles, they won't really cover the 0-1 phase of getting to product market fit. It's more about scale, how to spend your money and how to spend your fundraise money.
Yep. You just nailed it. More often than I've heard from product or technical co-founders is they don't want to do the 0-1 anymore.
Right. Yeah, of course.
They're like, that's the hardest part. Give me a call at 1 or 2. We're like, I'm done. Like, I'll help you build it. Like, I just don't want to do that phase.
Yeah.
I think you and I are learning this and as we go through it. Like, and sometimes the market just is just not ready for reasons outside of your control. But what have you found to at least help to ensure you're not wasting time or you're moving in the right direction? Like, what have been some of the biggest learnings that you think any founder listening to this can learn from and be transformative in their experience?
As a sales-led founder, it's not like I'm going in and doing code reviews around, okay, has the product been built right? It's more like, okay, I'm seeing the end result. And if the end result is taking like 4 to 6 months, right, to get built, then you're not learning fast enough, right? Because if you've raised, you know, X amount, maybe you have 18 months of runway or 20 months of runway, you're only going to have 3 or 4 at bats.
So the feedback
most.
Loop has to be quicker.
It has to be super fast. And if it's not fast, then you need to look elsewhere. You need to be learning in the matter of days or weeks, right? Hopefully days around what's working, what's not. Building that pixel perfect product like day zero just does not make sense, right? Fail fast. And you have to make tough decisions quickly. It's still a learning in process, but you know, I think another piece is as a sales-led founder, you're normally good at, you know, you're good at the sales part, right? But you have to sometimes take off your hat and put on the customer discovery part, right? And really putting yourself in the shoes of the customer. For me, I found that gives me a ton of energy, right? Because I'm not in sales mode. I'm in, you know, learning, iterating, you know, trying to create a really quick product feedback loop mode, which has been helpful. I think another thing is like, you know, figuring out, okay, what's the job that the customer is hiring you to do, right? And so Thrive, thrv.com, that's been a huge help, right? In figuring out like kind of jobs to be done. They have software that helps you.
I've learned like sometimes it's actually better for some products to just like be services at first almost.
Right.
And then build the product around it. Yeah. Like, is that the case for you? And how do you like, you know, determine that if it's a new category or solving for something that's completely like a new and changed behavior?
You don't want to sell too far ahead of the product because then, you know, product may never be able to catch up.
Yep.
And so if you're selling ahead of the product, that means you kind of have to throw bodies at solving the problem to start, which is okay. Right. And you know, I would say it's also humbling, right? Because you're expecting, you know, you're expecting, okay, let's go, let's run. And, you know, you can only throw so many humans at solving the problem. I guess my only advice is, don't get too far ahead of your ski tips in, you know, selling too far ahead of the product. We did that for a short while, right? With a co-sell high five. I think you're aware of this. We sold a million software. Yeah.
Which is remarkable if you think about it. You bring up a really important, I've learned the hard way now multiple times. You have to align the incentives for the sales team, like pay them or whatever, but it has to be on success and right. not on just closing, because most sellers, including me, have thought it's okay to just sell it and move on. But in the early days, you have to deliver. And what's funny is I actually have implemented this now for my events.
And you can deliver with the services.
100%.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
So like this is my point, because on the event sponsorship side, I don't even bring on an account manager or CS. I do the work.
That's a lot of work.
A lot of work, but it ensures I don't oversell, right?
Right.
It ensures I'm on the freaking hook. So I don't sell something unless I know I can deliver it. It's across the board, it's just been such a good experience. You're starting to do that now, right? Yeah. Talk a little bit about why you guys made that shift.
I think our initial thesis was, okay, if we can make intros really, really easy, right? Then that'll solve, you know,
everything.
That'll solve everything, right? If we can kind of pull in data into our system to unlock, okay, these are my, you know, this is the customer's target accounts.
Yep.
Here are the relationships I can leverage to get into those accounts.
Yep.
That'll solve everything. There's been 100 million that's been invested in this space, this category,
100%.
You know, across, I don't know, 10 or so different startups. And the reality is, like, no one's really figured it out yet, right? That's just the reality. I think one thing that we have figured out is that you can throw as much money at solving the software problem as you possibly can, and man hours and so on and so forth, but it'll only get you about 70% of the way there, right? Because relationship capital is such a fragile
big piece.
And so what we've built is this directory of premium connectors, people that want to help,
that
have the connections, right?
You've aligned incentives that there's some skin in the game for them as well, right?
Exactly. Yeah, there's some skin in the game. They're motivated to help. There needs to be incentives for connect. Like, we thought, you know, investors, advisors, they have equity in the company. They're going to be helpful. They are helpful at first, right?
100%. Your investors have been
great. It drops off. Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. And they're still helpful, right? Yeah. Tim Connors, John Murphy, they're super helpful. But not all investors are like that.
No.
Right? It's maybe what? I don't know, 10%?
Very small fraction.
Yeah,
maybe less. I literally was catching up with a founder out there that I invested in, and he's like, dude, this company is the bane of my existence. They do real estate. They don't understand what I do, and I get a nasty email once a month, and it's just not fun, right?
Right,
so
right.
Whoever you decide to take money from, like, you have to make sure they understand your business, because there's a lot of cheap money out there, and it's just not worth it. You know,
100%.
The juice isn't worth the squeeze. Well, Pete, this has been fantastic. I've said this before, but you've been a great supporter, great fan, always paying it forward. Thanks for coming on and paying it forward. You know how we love to end every episode. That is, if you could go back to any moment, what's one piece of advice you would give yourself?
You know, I would say don't rush it, right? Don't rush it. Cause you have all that energy right from the start. Take your time to really nail product market fit, right? Talk to don't put the sales hat on, do a ton of customer discovery up front. We've certainly learned that lesson. We've been humbled by it.
There's like four clients I've met out there that are like, we've gone
deals. It works.
We've gotten opportunities. Yeah. And I don't care. Like, even if you get one or two a month, like, that's huge, right?
Oh,
then it's on you. Like,
for
especially
sure.
in this world, like, we need new channels. So,
I mean, the coolest, what's given me the most amount of energy is that some of our clients have told us that using High Five is providing them more value than all of their sales tech stack combined, which is like completely insane.
Yeah. It's fun.
Like, it's energy. It gives me a ton of energy. 100%. It's awesome.
And if there's someone listening to this, if you're having that issue with pipeline, it doesn't have to be High Five, but you got to go back to the drawing board. That's my lesson this year.
Yeah.
Come up with new ways, right? Come
100%.
Up and try different things and see which one you can make repeatable. And if you can't make everything repeatable, that's okay, right?
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Anyway, this has been fantastic again. And until next time, be well, be safe. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Best thing about a business is as it scales, you start being buried in manual work. At some point, cracks start to emerge. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000, that's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. 25, NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. 1, because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all your KPIs. That is key performance indicators. In one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need to grow, all in one place. That is exactly what I've done time after time for our businesses and when we were scaling at AutoMile. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely for free at netsuite.com/scale. That is netsuite.com/scale to get your own KPI checklist at netsuite.com/scale.